Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, and this is Tracy Mahan.
Hi, everyone.
I'm so excited to be here with you. Happy Black Friday, everybody.
Did you go out? Did you go out on Black Friday?
Not to the stores. I went to the office.
Of course you did. I work too.
Yeah, I'm not going to go to the, I'll go to the stores tomorrow.
Get whatever's left behind there. It's all good.
I'm more of a cyber person, so
I am too.
Appropriate for me.
I'm right there with you. I'm kind of more of that. It's so much, you spend so much less when you just go and get exactly what you need online. They deliver it. It's already in a box. Then you just wrap it.
I spontaneous buy on the internet. I don't know.
Yeah. You're the house that has all the boxes piled up by the front door.
I do.
UPS is here.
Actually, they're in here because I bring them in and there are all these empty boxes.
There it is. You guys are going to learn all of our Black Friday dirty secrets, which is that we cyber shop and have an addiction.
Yeah. I only see this. It looks like it's kind of maybe clean, but everywhere around me is just boxes.
Yeah,
you can't.
I think that's pretty standard, though, for anyone that does any kind of internet, YouTube, anything like that. They have their little space that's clean, and then everything around them is chaos.
Yeah, you have no idea what the rest of it looks like.
No. Look at my clean space.
But that's how the shows, you know, any live shows, any TV shows and like that, it's right there is all you see. But everything else is just, you know, even in your regular TV studios and stuff, they have all the cameras and all the crazy wires and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's just how
the illusion of this peaceful space. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wonderful. So. Over here in the U.S., we're getting over turkey comas.
Yeah, everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving, had lots of wonderful things to eat, had your feast, your roasted, what they call it, the roasted feast.
The roasted feast. I was more entertained by the pie afterwards, the dessert.
Yeah. That's the best part.
Yeah, little pumpkin pie, little chocolate cream pie, and then some cookies.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm reminiscing. I gotta go. There's some leftovers in the fridge.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's our excuse. I'm sure other countries have an excuse like that for eating. You know, this is our one major day to just eat whatever you want and eat lots of it.
Lots of it. It was cute around my house because we were going to my parents' house for Thanksgiving. And so everyone was kind of milling around the kitchen, but nobody was eating. And my youngest son went to grab something to eat. And one of the others said, "What are you doing? You can't eat on Thanksgiving morning. Don't you know you have to save the space for dinner?"
Yeah, because you've got to have a really empty stomach to take all that.
I looked at him. I said, "Go ahead and have the banana."
That's funny.
It was funny. It was intense. I was like, "What are you doing?" This is serious. You got to save that space for turkey.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well,
okay. This is completely off the topic of what we were going to talk about tonight. But you're reminding me of something. I mean, when you eat these big meals like that, when you know you have things that you're going to eat, do you kind of do that? You kind of have, it's like you have your stomach compartmentalized. Okay, I've got this much room for it. I mean, is that kind of crazy?
It might be, but when I was dishing up, I was kind of like, okay, there's going to be pie. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. Yes.
Yeah, it's like you said, I'm stuffed. Well, what you mean is you're stuffed on that part because that was all you allocated for that part. You know, now you got still got the room left for the pie.
Oh, my goodness.
That's for entertainment.
That's what you guys get for tuning in.
Now, are you hungry yet? Go get your leftovers or go get something and eat with us. And we'll just all enjoy together.
Exactly.
I want to share something real quick before we get on to our topic. And it happened right before the show. My cat was wanting, my cat has this little game that we play. This is my cat. Oh, she's close to 15 years old now, but you would never know it. Anyway, she's, her name's Mickey. And anyway, she, we have this game where she is getting antsy and she wants to go out. I think she wants to go out, or she just wants to look out the door. And we go around all the doors about three times before she finally goes out one. And so it's like she's checking, like, what's in that location? What's in, you know, what's the environment there? And she's looking at everything and stuff. And we're the we're looking at the door. We're going looking out the door that is by my driveway. And it was so strange because it's like it's trying to do something out there. It's wet and stuff, and it's just it's not raining, but it's kind of trying to do something. And all of a sudden, I'm just looking. You know, we're just I mean, I just look out there with her too. It's nice, and it's like, okay, well, maybe eventually you'll want to go out. Or I keep going. Well, what do you think? What do you think about it? Do you think you want to go? I mean, you know, and she just like checking it out and everything. And then all of a sudden, I see a deer right in front of my car. I'm like, oh, wow. And I was like, well, hello, dear. Never noticed. I mean, they didn't notice me. So it must be. And I have the door open with all the light. And then another one comes by. I'm like, well, hello, another deer. Wow. You know?
You are the deer whisperer.
Yeah, that one turned around, looked at me. I'm like, hello. And but then it just kept on walking. They weren't bothered by me. And then I hear some more steps over here from the front of the house. I thought, oh, it's another deer. Now I look over there. It's an armadillo walking through my flower bed. I'm like, what is going on?
Did any other exotic animals maybe show up, like an elephant?
And then there was a peacock, and then there was a monkey that came swinging by. And, right. And and what's it called? A macaw.
The macaw. Yes. Macaw. Last week we're doing turkey noises. This week we'll do macaw.
Macaw.
So I don't know if you'll be able to see this picture or not. We took this for my sister. No, it's gonna be. Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Oh my gosh.
We took this for my sister. She sent dessert, and. And a big tub of Cool Whip. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, we made a little scene to send back to her and said, thanks for the Cool Whip, but we can't get it from Tracy. And
so did you have any left for the pies?
Well, that was supposed to be the next scene where everybody's sitting there with plates of punch of pie and no Cool
Whip. Oh, my gosh. Well, until you guys can see the video... it was Tracy with whipped cream all over her mouth, all over her face, and with a great big tub of whipped cream in front of her that she's scooping out of. She's kind of got her head in it. And then just.
Yeah. It's the illusion that I'm eating the tub of Cool Whip or mm-hmm. Whipped cream, whatever. But yes, that was fun. I was like, here, hold on a minute. And I'm dabbing that all over my face. And I told my niece, okay, take the picture. And then my mom of all people sitting there going, you know, I did hear you could eat it like ice cream. And that was tempting. So it runs in the family. What can I say?
Okay. The people in other countries, you know, we are weird and we are with our food. We really like our food.
Something like that. Yeah.
We like to play in our food, and I hope that doesn't offend anyone, but what I do with my food, when did this become a food show?
I don't know. And I'm really excited to hear what you're going to say about what you do with your food.
I think it's just a way of enjoying my food. I don't just scarf it down. I play with it. And I'm part of it is just kind of airing it out, but then I'll mix it around and I'm playing with it. And I think it's just a way of me getting to know my food and enjoying it.
I like that. Airing it out, fluffing it.
I mean, the only thing left to do that would really be playing in it would be to scoop it up with my hands and eat it that way. But, you know, so I do still use silverware, but I do play and I enjoy it.
The next step, maybe the next level to this will be the texture, playing with the texture of it with your hands.
Yeah. So does that mean it's like digression?
Maybe it's progression.
You progress into a childlike state. Maybe that's why kids like to play.
Maybe we should come up with a new word for it. Prodigression? I don't know.
Digression.
Something. We do have a theme for you guys.
Yeah, we do. We really do. And it's not about food either.
No. But, you know, when we come off of a big meal like that, you got to talk about it. You know, there's a lot of things to say. There's green beans. There's mashed potatoes. There's stuffing. There's salads. There's turkey. There's gravy. That could take an hour.
And did you have nice rolls?
Oh, and they were just like the perfect. You know, I got rolls the other day to go with dinner, and they were so dry that yesterday the rolls were perfect. And it was like, oh my gosh, somebody pull me away from the rolls. I need to save room for the Cool Whip.
Yeah, exactly. Got it. There's only so much room allocated for that meal. Then we got dessert. Got those pies coming. So,
oh my goodness.
Oh, I don't know. If anybody's still listening,
we love you.
We do love you. We really love you.
Come have a meal with us sometime.
We do have fun with meals. We do have fun eating.
Yeah.
We've had some enjoyable meals. So, yeah.
Oh. We talked too much about food. Now Buddy has joined the party.
Yeah.
In my face. It was you with the cat two shows ago. Now it's me with the German Shepherd. But anyways.
Star too.
I think I'm going to start this off. I think Buddy was a horse in a past life.
I can see that. When he butts his head.
Yeah, he's going to pull the headset out. He's very excited that I pet him and paid attention to him. So we're going to have that for a little bit. Okay. Anyways, past lives. Shall we go there?
And how they can bring healing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is actually the theme. We did think a little bit before the show.
It only took us 13 minutes to get there.
Hey.
You're welcome, guys. Now that you all went and got a snack, took a potty break.
We'll see how long we'll stay there.
Yeah, squirrel. That's true. Did you have a squirrel? You had the armadillo.
I had the armadillo and two deer. I did not see a squirrel. They might have been out there in the trees, but I was surprised the deer were out. In fact, that's what I was saying before the armadillo walked up, is they're probably looking for a place to sleep. And you know, because usually they're laid down by this time, you know, when it's dark. Yeah. And anyway, and I guess that's what the armadillo was doing too.
I'm just getting a cartoon theme. What is that, Snow White?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. The birds all start landing on you. The
bird comes down on my hands.
Okay. Should we try and get back to past lives?
Yeah. Well, actually, that was a good segue into a life that I had seen of one of mine. With all the animals, and that may be why some of this is going on. I don't know. And it was nature, and it was like a fairy kingdom. And I was a member of that and knew how to communicate with all of the animals and all of the, you know, it's mainly the animals and stuff. I just understood them and knew what to do. And that's what it was trying to show me. I was in a situation at the time that I didn't know how to work with the different people involved. And that's what's showing me, is that I can talk to anybody. I can work with anybody. You've done it before. Wow. I care, you know? And so you just have to understand them and their wavelength and things like that. So it's that kind of thing, you know, healing comes in a lot of different ways.
It really does.
And so much of it, you know, if you can just get perspective and you can get an understanding of something and just see a different thing where you have done this, it helps you with your current situation. And that's what QHHT is all about, is where we want to find what's applicable to your current situation. So, I have a feeling that you had some cases in mind that you wanted to share. You love when I do that.
You and your feelings.
I'm just going to come up with
Don't talk about your feelings out loud anymore.
Oh, okay. Did I say that out loud?
So I think it was just kind of a theme this week about past lives, healing, moving into, it just really reminded me why I was brought to this work, why I was brought to QHHT, how I found you. All of that is because my passion for past lives and healing with through past lives. And then your mom, of course, Dolores Gannon, took it even further to, okay, now we're out of the past life. Now we're going to go talk to the superconscious mind. And what a neat addition to a past life regression. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, the healing with all of it is so amplified. And I had my first experience with past lives. I actually got my first past life through a set of dreams that I would journal. And I got together with this group of people, and we were sharing our dream journals. And one of the gals goes, oh, my gosh, do you see the theme here? And she says the whole thing, there was three different dreams, and she said the whole thing and unraveled the whole thing. And I just had chills run through my whole body. And the thing that I had been like totally obsessed and anxious and having all these troubles over mm-hmm. went away, never came back. And it was completely gone. That was my push start into all of this, although it took me a while to get to the next phase of it. Mm-hmm. I started doing past lives as readings, and I was like, that's just not enough. You know, people need to experience this. And then that's what got me into the hypnosis and then eventually to you. And so my thing was, oh my gosh, people have to know how to do this, because it could have taken years or lifetimes.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Looking at the scenario, we were already on another lifetime. So there was the lifetime that we viewed. There was probably a lifetime before that, and maybe one before that. Mm-hmm. And so literally taking lifetimes to learn this lesson, and all of a sudden it was wiped clean. And I knew why this was happening, why that was happening. Let the whole thing go. That makes sense. That needs to play out. Let it go. And it just cleared it.
Huge.
Yeah. So it really could take something that could take months, years, and or lifetimes to heal, and you can do it in a session.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to talk about past lives today, because I think they're powerful.
They are.
And we say past lives, but it could even be future life. It could be, you know, if we want to get really confusing about it, all time is now, that kind of thing. But, you know, on our timeline, they have the appearance of happening before.
Right. Well, even in many times, people in these regressions and these sessions will go into this life, into like childhood in this life. Well, yeah. When you think about it, that is another life, you mm-hmm. know, and that's when we say, you know, I call it another life other than a past life or a future life or anything, but because our time understanding is so different now.
Yeah.
So that to call it, you know, just say it's another, because that is
another life is perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's, I mean, very few of us are the same people that we were, say, at 7 you know, or something. And many times that's where we go. If you're going to go into this life, you're going to go to somewhere in that age range, because things happen when we're young mm-hmm. and they aren't completely understood. And so they have an effect on us. And so now it's like, and if we're taken there in a session, it means there's something there that needs to be sorted through and understood. And with that understanding, then you bring it into this current life where you are right now, because it must have some bearing on it, or it would, you wouldn't
yeah.
be shown.
And I have a fun one to share that, okay. That I'm trying to make sure I get it all in my head right. So I had this gal call me, and it's a friend of mine, and she says, I had the weirdest experience. My sewing machine broke. And I may have told you this one before. My sewing machine broke. And so I brought it into the sewing machine repair shop. And of course, they have new machines there as well. And so the guy that's running the counter was trying to talk her into, hey, why don't you upgrade? Get a new one. This is an old machine. So she starts walking around. She said all of a sudden she got so anxious and so overwhelmed she had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so she left, and then she's calling me going, what happened? And I jokingly said, well, why don't you get rid of that sweatshop lifetime? So anyways, we both kind of giggled, got off the phone. She calls me back. I think it was the next day. And she goes, I think I do need to schedule. I couldn't sleep last night. I said, oh, okay. So we get her in, and sure enough, she went right into a lifetime where she goes, to a little girl. She wasn't even very old. She was maybe 11, 12 years old. And she was working in one of those sweatshops with the sewing and all of that. And she didn't have parents. And the guy that ran the sweatshop, if she did a certain amount of things throughout the day working for him, then she could sleep there. And I think he would give her a meal, if I remember right. So she'd get like one meal and she could sleep in this warehouse if she got a certain amount of her stuff done. And if she didn't, she was on the streets. And so she would always work really, really hard, try to get everything done so she could sleep there.
She was probably anxious trying to get it done.
Very anxious trying to get it done, yeah. And then on top of that, then he was abusive to her. And I wasn't real clear if she meant, she didn't get real clear on if it was sexual abuse or just abuse. I know he was verbally abusive and physically he would push her around, but I don't know if there was other kind of abuse. But anyways, so she had that going on too. And so when she went into that sewing machine shop and she sees all these sewing machines, it triggers this memory, right? And then that cellular memory kicks in. She's getting anxious. She's getting uncomfortable. She wants to get out of there.
Right.
Well, we go further into it and I'm asking her, well, what can you tell about the guy that's running this sweatshop? And she looks at him and she goes, oh my God, it's the guy from the sewing machine repair shop.
Oh my goodness. Well, he didn't get very far from.
How did they both end up in this little town, right? Mm-hmm. And so anyways, sure enough, we clear all that. She goes back, she gets her sewing machine. She did get a new one and cleared that energy. But it goes to show you, though, how certain things can trigger a cellular memory, and then you don't know where this is coming from. All of a sudden, right. You're anxious, you're feeling nauseated, or whatever it was, you know, all these feelings that she had come up, and she didn't know why.
Yeah.
And, you know, here she's around all these sewing machines. That was probably one trigger, but as soon as she started talking to that guy and that energy exchange, that soul recognition just, bam, brought it in. So when you guys meet somebody that you're like, man, I think I've known this person forever, you probably have.
Probably
there's
have.
A little soul recognition going on there.
And
hopefully
and,
it's a better experience.
Right. And usually, sometimes you'll have it and it's like, I just don't. Yeah. It's like oil and water and you just can't mix or anything. And you don't, it's like, but there's nothing rational there to make that be. And then there's other times as people, it's like you feel like you've known them all your life and it's your closest, dearest friend and you might have just met them. And see, either of those are people that you've probably known before. They're from a group. They're something. So,
yeah. I'll have to regress you to find out how we know each other. But no, it is fun though. In those regards, it is kind of fun to see things that you've done before, people you know. I had one, and I know that I don't know if Mom will like me sharing this one, but I had one where my shoulder kept hurting. And so I went into this regression, and I asked to see why was my shoulder hurting, and here I was. This it was a tribal type setting, and I was a young man, and I was supposed to go off and go hunting or something with my father, which is now my mother in this life.
Okay.
And I was being a bit of a smart ass and I wasn't going to do it. And I go stomping off. I didn't. You know, that must have been some of the karma we had to play out. There I am again. So I go walking off and it upset her, although she's a big Indian man in that lifetime, and she just grabs her bow and hits me with an arrow right in the shoulder. And so of course that hurt, but the thing of it is, you know, then it's like, okay, well, you know, going off of society back then in that particular situation, of course that's what happened, you know, that I disrespected an elder and they had to put me in my place, and it must have escalated to that point. And so now I'm starting to understand some of the things going on in my house. No, I just
need to get some more arrows.
Anyway, so I wonder if Mom still's got that bow. Mm-hmm. And so, after going through that, clearing that energy, sending off the forgiveness and letting that go, the shoulder pain went away. I mean, it was just gone. And so there's a healing story for you. But yeah, I'm sure mom loves that one because she's like, I wouldn't have shot you with an arrow. And I was like, oh, don't get caught up in the details.
But let's look at what's your relationship now in this life. In this life, do you have a respect for her? Do you have
No, I'm just
I mean, I'm just wondering if you get along really well and maybe there's a deep respect or something because it was earned back there.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't have it back there. But yeah, in this lifetime, of course, yes, I have a lot of respect for both my parents. And hopefully they feel that way, too. Hopefully I've conveyed that through. But yeah, I couldn't think more of them if I tried. I love my parents dearly. So I feel very blessed with my family for sure. But yes, so much different scenario. No arrows in the back. We're good.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
But see how easy that was. I mean, it's like, otherwise it's like there is no explanation, you know, for this, but it comes from a really cool source and then it's gone as soon as you understand it.
Yeah. And that's it, you know, understanding why it's there, talk to that symptom, whatever you do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and there's so many things that can trigger it. I had a gal that was turning 50 and all of a sudden she was afraid of flying and in her regression. And again, this is where the lifetime was parallel or overlapped a little bit. But she was a 50-year-old man flying an airplane and birds hit the engine and she went down, crashed and died. So she's coming up on 50. She's going to go fly in an airplane and the small airplane. And she starts having all this anxiety. So
understandable.
Yeah. There's triggers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because on that part, I mean, this body, it's leading this life, but that other part, this is just a different costume and it's not fully understanding. Oh, that has nothing to do with this one. And it's like, remember, be careful. You know, birds and flying don't mix.
Don't mix. Small airplane, crash die, small airplane. Well, I mean, how many people are afraid of drowning or swimming? I should say afraid of swimming or heights or, you know, different things, snakes, spiders, different things like that. And there's reasons.
Yeah. A lot of odd fears. And if they're not, you know, it's like, well, there's nothing to explain them. It's probably coming from a way that you died in another life. Yeah. Usually that's the residue that we carry over. It's just something that either as a reminder, there's something about it or it was triggered or it's a reminder for something. And, it's just trying to get our attention. But I had a bunch of them when I was little. And then whenever I had claustrophobia, oh my gosh, most of my life. And then until I had the, until I had mom, it was one of the first regressions that I did with her. And it was like almost all of my phobias came from this one life. It was the way I died in this one life, or is what happened right in that. It's like what culminated it, what came up to it. And, once I went through that and understood it, see, I don't have any problems being in elevators now. I've even gone down I've gone up into the Great Pyramid and gone down into the Bent Pyramid, which if anybody has been in that takes a lot to do that. I mean, if you have claustrophobia, it's not something you're going to do. And it did bother me when I was doing it. I made it halfway down and then I started freaking out because I thought I was almost there. I think we might have talked about this before, but I don't know.
We're going to talk about it again.
My major.
Because I don't remember.
And I guess I'm bringing it up because I'm getting ready to go to Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Let's work through it.
Let's work through this here. this pyramid, because the Great Pyramid, you go in and you walk up. They have the tunnel. But it's not a tunnel. It's I mean, it's kind of like a tunnel, but it goes up into it and you go up into the king's chamber and the queen's chamber and, you know, but it's a walkway. And, you know, everybody goes in single file and stuff and everything, but you're going up. In this pyramid, you go up the outside and you go down the shaft. That's what it's called, a shaft. And you go down the shaft and it's at an angle and going down into the pyramid. And then when you get to the bottom of it, it opens up into this great big chamber, and then you can go from there up into some other chambers, okay? Now, this shaft is at best, I was going to say 3 feet by 3, but I don't think it's even that big. It might be 2, 2.5 feet wide by 2.5 feet. Yeah. So it's just a square, all right? And it's a shaft that goes down. They've got ladder rungs. It's just the rungs from the ladder are hammered into the wall. And those are your steps, okay?
Okay.
And you're just you have to go down backwards because of the way you have to go down backwards, period.
Well, it makes sense. Yeah.
And if anybody, you know, any claustrophobics out there, anybody with claustrophobia, right there, you know that that's an issue. You want to see where you're going. Okay.
Right.
You want to always. And so I was trying to go down like sideways even so I could see. And they're like, no, you can't do that. You've got to turn and go down backwards.
You're like,
I don't like that. I can't see where I'm going. I'm just,
it's not happening.
There's a person behind me. He was the person being my guide. And it was just the two of us. This was in 2012 when there was a lot of stuff going on in Egypt.
2012 even.
Yes, exactly.
Oh.
And there was all this stuff going on, the skirmishes that were going on up there. But I just happened to get there right between two skirmishes. So it was very safe when I was there, but there were very few tourists because of what was going on. So it was like, everything was empty. And when I, at that point I went and there was like nothing, you know, going on. I mean, like we were the only people. And
nice.
A couple, when we came, we went in, there's a couple standing up there at the top. And then there's this little guy that sits there. He's kind of like the guard. And that was it. So there's like five of us.
Can you imagine him getting to work every day? Happen to do that every day, go in that pyramid.
Well, he doesn't go down. He sits at the top. He just sits at the morning and he just greets you.
He's there for the panic attack that you have when you're halfway down?
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly what happened. And because I'm thinking, okay, we got to be getting pretty close because you can't see. I mean, if what I could see down there is just black, you know. So I'm like, okay, I'm going by guessing about how far we've gone. Okay, we got to be about halfway down. I mean, we got to be about there. And the guy behind me, he's like, okay, we're halfway down. And I'm like,
oh,
no, because I mean, this already, I it's getting really small. The light that's at the top, mm-hmm. you know, that's all I have to keep. I have to look at that, you know. And I just went into full freak out mode and I was about to just run back up. And that's,
oh yeah. If you got someone in front of you and you know, you can't go that way. And there's someone down there.
Well, there wasn't anybody in front of me. That's why.
Oh my goodness.
That was what was good because I mean, I was getting ready. That's why I was glad there was nobody. It was really, really few people. So that was very divinely planned that I could do that. But the guy behind me, he was my guide and he's like, oh, it's okay. It's not going to collapse on you. It's not going to. And I'm like,
Don't say that.
It's not helping. That's not the concern.
Thanks for the visuals.
But I am just, you know, I don't even know, but it was like everything was coming full force. And then all of a sudden I hear a voice. I hear, you know, from the tires, this little voice. And this man, it was that couple that was there when we came in, you know, and stuff. And this man starts talking to me and telling me that it's okay, everything's fine. And his girlfriend had just, you know, he and his girlfriend had been there last weekend and she had the same experience. And he's like, hey, it'll help if you just visualize, you know, different things. And I can't remember what all he said to me. And that helped me to just kind of stop anyway, not try to go back up. I mean, I was ready. I was about to run back up.
I hear you.
Flight mode.
I'm right there with you. Yeah.
And then... but then, because I'm like, okay, I'm not able to move yet. You know, I'm like, I may have stopped freaking out, kind of, sort of, but I'm not able to keep going yet. Anyway, then the girl, the woman of the couple, I just see this little opening up there, and I see the silhouette. You know, now she comes across, and she starts talking to me, and she's telling me about what happened with her, and she had the exact same thing happen, and it's okay. This is how you do it. Just one step, and just keep staying there, you know, and it's like, it's what you end up doing. And that's what actually got me to move. I had to pull everything into me and just focus on my feet. One step, one step. And I just kept doing that until I got down to the bottom. And it was like, and then it all opens up. Well, when it opens up, you're fine.
You know? Right. So, I can breathe. I can move.
Yeah. And you don't think about where you are. So I'm underground or whatever I was in. I think I'm just at the bottom of it. But
note to guide, next time just say, almost there, almost there.
Exactly. I know you're not telling me the truth, but it's better than halfway there.
Yeah. And you already think, how far down does this go? And then they're saying halfway.
Right. Okay. Now here's the rest of the story. After we did all this stuff. And I mean, this is the really cool part of the story. Okay.
All right.
There ends up being a tour group that came in after us. And I'm like, and we've been down there for a while. And he had a flute and he was playing it. And it was wonderful acoustics and pyramids, you know, so he was doing these things. And then this other group comes in and I was like, okay, I don't want, you know, claustrophobia. You don't want them ahead of you and you don't want them. You want a free passage.
Right. You want to know there's a way out.
Yes, exactly. So I'm like, okay, I want to be ahead of those people. I just don't want to be behind them. They can be behind me, but I don't want to be behind them. And so I'm like, okay, we need to go now. We've been here long enough. We can go. So going back up, anyway, get back up there finally, get out. And these shafts are very humid. So I'm a sweaty mess when I get out.
My so soul sister.
Just visualize, you know, I'm up and I'm out, but I'm really feeling good. I'm so glad that I got out. And that couple was still up there. All right.
Oh, they waited.
They were up there and I came out and I just gave them, I just, this great big hug. And I said, you are, and that woman, I said, you're the only reason I made it. And she said, you know, we came here today. I thought they had come out of the shaft, that they just come out. They hadn't. They were just there. They said, we felt like we were supposed to be here for someone.
Oh, that gives me chills.
Doesn't it? And it was like, and when I was done with all of that, I felt like I had completed an initiation or something. It's like I had completed something.
Wow.
And then the guide, he has a little stone shop in like on the square in the Cairo. I mean, the absolute, you know, 0.0 Cairo. It's really cool. He has a little, where he carves these little statues and stuff.
Oh, nice.
And I was getting some statues from him, and he says, okay, I always give everyone that goes into the pyramids with me, I always give them a papyrus. And so pick whichever one you want, which one, you know, and then he wrote my name on it in Egyptian. So it's really cool. In hieroglyphics, not Egyptian, but hieroglyphics. I picked the one out that appealed to me. Guess what that one meant?
Crazy brave woman?
Yeah. Initiation.
Oh, no.
I'm like, okay, we just can't, you can't make this stuff up. So I know, see, all of this was, you know, it was coming from somewhere. And I was just told very, very recently that this trip is going to now, because that was initiation. So now this one's going to start filling in some other gaps. So we'll see what else.
I hope they're not scary gaps.
Me too. I've already feel it, because I keep seeing that pyramid. It's like, I've already done that. I don't need to do it again. Others can have experience. I really don't need to. But I will tell you, if you do that one, and that's what they could tell me, is it, once you do this one, because we did it first, and then the next day we did the Great Pyramid, they said, if you can do this one, the Great Pyramid's a cakewalk. And it is, because the Great Pyramid, the shafts are much bigger and everything. Oh, okay. It was like, it was almost anticlimactic. I really liked the other one better because it took everything I had to do it. So.
No kidding. That's the one that has the memory. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be cool to see where, at some point, to see where all that's coming from. But see, that's huge. And so much Egyptian things are coming into now, you know, it's like into things that we know and into things that, like, our experiences. So it's like we're remembering these things. So I don't know if it's from either things we started and we've just got to finish them, or it's memories that we just got to bring back for some reason. Those are fun things. So you've had people that go back to Egyptian lives, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So
what
I've done it too.
What is the relevance? What are you finding there?
I had my favorite one was this gal that went up to the pyramid, and there was this secret entrance, and she knew there was a secret entrance, and she spent, I think, a day and a half looking for how to move through this entrance. Wow. It was very extended, hours and hours of trying to find this, right? And she was a male in that lifetime. She was exploring, and she goes in, and finds it finally. And this door opens and she goes in. And she can feel the energy. And it's almost like it was this pulsing energy. Mm. And as she went in further, she knew she was never going to leave that pyramid. She just, but everything about her just wanted to keep going forward. So what an amazing thing to have somebody in this altered state remembering what's happening, because what happens is she moves, she keeps moving towards this energy and she doesn't even notice she's not in her body anymore.
Oh.
So at some point she exits her body. The thing she was most upset about though was the knife that she had was a gift and it's going to get left. It was left in the pyramid. So that kind of cracked me up because she's like, the knife, my knife.
I won't understand.
They'll never be able to recover it. Anyway, so, you know, and then she can see the clothes are laying there, but she becomes part of this energy and this pulsing energy. And it was it what it turns out to be later is, you know, as we evolve this more was source energy. Mm-hmm. And it was coming from the inside of that pyramid. And I can't remember what time frame that was supposed to be, but obviously way back. Mm-hmm. So that one was one of my favorite stories because I had never heard anything like that before. And yet she had so many details with getting into that pyramid. And, you know, she was this male going into the pyramid, couldn't resist that energy, had to just keep going, even though she knew she was never going to leave. She knew that was it. But the fact that she didn't even realize she left her body, you know, she was going on and on and on. She goes, oh, not in my body anymore. I said, well, where's your body? Well, I think it used to be over there, but now it's just clothes. And oh, and there's my knife. That's when the knife came in. I was like, oh my gosh. But that one was so cool. And then of course we went through some of the stuff with the energy that she was in and where, you know, she kind of went into this, she stayed in that for a long time. Then she finally went over to this other energy transition point and come back into another life again. But that was a cool one. Trying to think of what else I've gotten. I think somebody's trying to see our show. That's okay. They'll figure out that link. Anyway, so I have a second screen over here and there's things that are popping up. So
that's why I don't do that, because I would be so distracted.
Yeah. Well, and I was trying to watch, because sometimes we get comments on our banners. So I had it pulled up on my Facebook page in case anybody had done that, but now I'm getting this other message. Anyway, I'm trying to think of, some of the others that I had a memory of one of the pyramids for my personal memory where there was a secret room or this room in the pyramid and there were no entry points to it. You had to know how to phase yourself into energy to get into that room. And then it had a table in the center of it. And this was before I knew what light language looked like. Mm-hmm. And I could see this language scribed all the way around it. And I tried to write it out and I wouldn't even know where to find that. Now it was probably in a journal from a long time ago. Hi, Joanne. See, we said that out loud and now they're posting on the banner. She's in New Zealand. Hello, honey. So, anyways, so yeah, so I knew that if somebody laid on that table, they could experience healing. Mm-hmm. On some level, you know, and then, and there was all these other details, but the part that I found fascinating is I was like, how did we get in here? Cause you know, when I went into it, I'm just in the room, but I was like, there's no entry point to this space. And it wasn't a very big room, but it had that big slab in the center. And I knew that if someone laid on that, they could be healed. But I mean, if you know how to phase yourself in there, mm-hmm. can't you heal yourself? It's like, come on. If you can phase your particles into energy so that you could move into this space, what is it that you need from here? Yeah. But there was something about it. And I think there was a way for the sun or the moon energy to get in there through something as well. There was like a portal energy or something. Cause I know that was at one point shining on the slab. Anyway, there's so many mysteries.
Okay, because see that this shaft, it was like that. But see, the Great Pyramid has shafts that go down, but they're way up on the outside. And that's what Robert Bovall. He has done a lot of research, and he says, like, if you look out these shafts, they line up with these different star systems.
But oh, really?
Could also very well be moon, sun, things like that coming in.
Yeah.
To do different things. And
yeah, because you would lay there and wait for the light to hit you, and whatever was scribed on this all around it meant something too.
Yeah. Now, when I was in the pyramid, when I made it down there and I got into there, and the first thing I said was, gosh, that's hard for people to come down. And the guy was like, people didn't come down that, because I'm thinking, you know, because they're always saying, oh, these are tombs and they do all this. And I knew it wasn't like that. But that was my first thought, because they have the seal climb down it. Right. And it's like, man, that would have been hard for people to do that. And it was like, they didn't do that. And then as soon as he said that, all of a sudden, I'm feeling the energy of that, of the thing. Mm. And it's like, it's not made for people. It was a machine.
Really?
I mean, it was like, yeah, it was a machine. Now, as far as like what you're saying, you know, the things it did, it's like, well, see, that was a different level of the person being in there. So it's not made for physical bodies to be in these things. I mean, it was so weird, because I kept saying this, it feels like a machine. And I'm thinking, how do I know what a machine feels like? You know,
right?
But it was so real. It's like, this is a machine. It's like it generates and it does things like that, you know, and it amplifies, feels this mechanical machine feeling to it. And so I think, yeah, so in that way, it could be taking these things and maybe using these different elements and amplifying, generating power. I don't know, but it does.
Yeah. Maybe it was a way to recharge that energy, or
maybe
connect with the source or something.
Maybe.
When you go, find out.
Well, another cool thing, there are no hieroglyphics inside the pyramid. None.
Really?
None. That's another way you know there weren't people in there.
Ah.
Yeah. There's a bunch of them, like every pyramid, or at least the great ones, and I think they said every pyramid, they have a temple right next to it. You know, it's like every one would be a pyramid temple. It's almost like maybe that's where the people went.
Right.
That's where the hieroglyphics are.
That's interesting. Mm. You have an assignment now.
Okay.
Why is there rooms here like this? Like that. And then see what comes in. I'm sure everybody's on board with that.
I'll report back.
Yeah.
I will do that. But we really got onto pyramids.
It was still past life related.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because there's a lot of people probably with that happening. Another one that a lot of people are here with the energy of is Atlantis.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Atlantis and Lemuria.
Yes.
Big time. I agree.
Yeah, and again, because it's all these things that we're bringing back and doing our best to. I mean, it's the same kind of situations, and so we're back to finish it, fix it, bring back our talents and abilities.
Mm-hmm.
That
happens a lot in the QHHT sessions. Just FYI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially if you put it on your list of things you want to have happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, because so many people want to know, well, can I get abilities back? And if you've ever had an ability before in another life, yes, you can, if it's appropriate.
If it's appropriate.
If it's appropriate for your life now. Now, maybe you had an ability and you abused it in another life, and that may be, you know, why you don't have it, is because it's like, no, you abused it before, and you want to keep yourself from going there because, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. But it's understanding you've got to be responsible with abilities as well.
Yeah.
So
like the Spider-Man movie, with great power comes great responsibility. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, Kimosabi.
I was going to ask you something before the show ends. I can't remember what it was. It was probably important.
Two deer, armadillo.
Okay, that was it. Yeah. And a squirrel. But the squirrel came afterwards on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So you will be in Egypt, mm-hmm. which means that you're going to be gone for most of December. So are we having any other shows before the new year? This could be our, hey, everybody.
It might be. We'll see. Yeah, I don't know. What day is Christmas on? Is it a Wednesday?
Oh, that's a good question. You probably, since you just said that, does that mean you know?
I don't know. I have a guess.
It is a Wednesday.
Yeah,
so, I have a guess. So maybe on the 27th.
Maybe, if I'm not going to see my daughter. So
see?
And that
all right.
What pulls me, yeah, before the new year. And so it might be Happy New Year, everybody.
It might be Happy New Year, everyone. And have a Merry Christmas and Happy mm-hmm. Hanukkah and all the other holidays that
right
in between.
Yeah. It's a lot happening this month, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? Astrologically, a tremendous amount is happening this in December leading into 2020. Mm-hmm. We're going into a new decade, so I've got some ideas around that.
Okay.
And we'll see if we can pull it together for our New Year show.
Okay.
That would be
You're
fun.
You're not going to share any now? You're not going to give a little sneak peek?
I was just going to see if we could get a really cool astrologer to come on and talk to us about what to expect with 2020, because there's a whole lot of things going on, mm-hmm. like lots of things going on, and they're good things. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Oh, that sounds exciting.
So, and yeah. So if we can find somebody, if you're an astrologer and you're listening and you think you can handle that task, contact me.
Your mission.
Your mission. Me, not Julia, because she's going to be in Egypt.
Yeah, so I'm gone. So don't even try me. How can they contact you, Tracy?
I'm pretty easy. TracyMahan@yahoo.com. Or go to my website, TracyMahan.com. My information's there. So come find me, contact me. I'm looking for somebody that really knows their stuff and can really get into a really good report for 2020 for the collective, because if you try and get to each sign, there will never be enough time. But there's really great ways to touch on the collective as far as what's happening. So I think that would be really cool, because I know a lot of good things are coming in. I'm Capricorn, so I've been watching. On Christmas, we're going to have a solar eclipse that's supposed to kickstart some really cool stuff.
Oh,
and it's in Capricorn. And so I'm like, all right, mm-hmm. let's just, it's like the fireworks.
Yeah. My rising or my moon is in Capricorn. I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we're going to be celebrating, girl.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And it's wherever Capricorn, it's not to say that the other signs aren't celebrating, because it's wherever Capricorn is in your chart. And that's why I need a good astrologer, somebody that's going to say, okay, mm-hmm. you know, real quick, if your chart's here, it's going to fall in these houses for you. So everybody's got something going on with this, and it's fun. So it's really cool to look at, you know, we're just getting, saying goodbye to this last 10 years, saying hello to a new group
we're definitely in. I mean, nine is always the completion.
And
I know it probably doesn't all add up to a nine, but nine is still in this year. So it's a completion year. And I've heard someone else say, like, 2020, I mean, we always talk about that with the vision and it's perfectly clear vision. That's what I've heard is that year is supposed to represent. Really see clearly. And we
this
can.
Is about cool. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Maybe I need to put my glasses back on.
But you see really cool things when you don't have them on.
I really do. I go places you didn't even know existed.
Exactly.
That's a lot of fun. But yeah, so that's my thought. Now that the cat's out of the bag, I think we should do a show.
Some other thoughts for me for other things, some other ideas. So, and you probably already got them. I'm just reading your mind.
Because we do that.
We do that. Or I'm picking up other people's stuff.
We do that too.
Yep. Well, I noticed the time. Oh my goodness. How did it happen?
You guys, you've got over here, it's 555, which always means big change, which is perfect for how we were just talking about astrology. But I want to, everyone to know that if they would like to sign up for QHHT to be a practitioner, go to QHHTofficial.com. All the classes are over there.
Friday sale going on right now. If you want to do online courses or the course, now is the time to get it. If you've ever thought about doing it, now is the time because it's the best deal of the year that we've got going. So just QHHTofficial.com, get signed up.
Get signed up. Yes, you won't regret it. And
minutes on these fantastic.
It's life changing. Life changing.
Life changing. Yes. For everything you get to learn and everything you get to do to help people.
Mm-hmm.
It's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Anyway, if this is the last show of the year, thank you everyone for making it such a wonderful, wonderful year. And thank you, Tracy, for being here and being by my side. And I love you.
We rocked 2019. Can't wait to see what we do to 2020. Exactly. Like you said, 2020, but I already know huge things are happening and I can't wait for all of this to just start getting unraveled. So Thank you for always having me here. And it's been so much fun. So happy end of the year, everybody. Enjoy December. You're going to rock it.
Yes. And Merry all the happy holidays you have. And we'll, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Love all you. Right. And till next time.
Bye everyone. Bye.